Saludos, nuestra gente, and welcome to The Latina Theory, a Spanglish podcast sin vergüenzas. I'm your host, Maria Isa, along with my co-host,
Jessica Lopez-Lyman.
And we are two proud Minnesotanas, a Boricua and a Chicana, proud of where we come from and of where we are now. We're here to create a dialogue focused on Latinx opinions regarding current events, health, politics, race, edutainment, and a music playlist asazonado with Latinx contemporary, alternative, soul, hip-hop, reggae, reggaeton, cumbia, R&B, salsa, Afro-Latinx, y más.
R.I.P. Guru. Okay. First of all, I ain't gonna sit here and pretend like I know all the answers, man. But I ain't with the marching shit. I protest and protest. They shoot my son, we gon' burn this bitch down. I wanna kill a cop, but I ain't got the heart. I don't know if I'm scared or I'm scared to get caught. So many late nights I laid up contemplating the thought. As a youngin', never was afraid of the dark. But I'm afraid of police, I ain't ashamed to admit it. The anger runs so deep that they made me a menace to society, and I just be minding my business till the crime gets committed and they lie and say I did it. Affirmative action, white privilege, conservative purposes, poisoned by religion. Driving while black, paranoid, I be tripping like a soldier back from Iraq with PTS syndrome. Big brother watching like a CBS emblem. Outside of CBS, getting my Percocet prescription. Civil rights avalanche, never had a chance. Niggas in prison like the cattle ranch. Police wearing cameras, fuck that, that's irrelevant. Cause the evidence was planted in the ambulance. They broke that boy neck in Baltimore, snapped the spinal cord. Shot a 17-year-old girl, now she on life support. Kicked in the door at the wrong address and shot grandma in the chest with an AR-15. Tally up the losses, it'll make you nauseous. For the officer, it's just another day at the office. But I'm done with the nonsense. Got me a gun and some hollow tips. No marching, no politics. We deserve more victory for the poor. This means war. Now it's time to even the score.
Burn this bitch down. 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 Burn this bitch down.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Hola, mi gente. Saludos. Maria Isa here with
Jessica Lopez-Lyman. Hey, y'all.
We are live right now recording from my home in St. Paul, and Jessica is on the other line from her home. Amongst this crazy time that we are living here in the Twin Cities while our barrio has been burning and the voice of the people are demanding to be heard in regards to justice for a friend of our community, someone I knew personally, Mr. George Floyd. Man, girl, I mean, we weren't even supposed to come back until you're done with your cuarentena, you know, for having a baby. You know, first and foremost, congratulations. I know this is such an odd time, but I just I want to welcome you to motherhood, and even more to be as more protective as possible in these days now, ¿verdad?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm glad we're able to connect. I'm glad we're able to record. I think it's important. I know we're going to have some people on in a little bit who've been on the ground doing this work. I definitely have to say it's I'm going to place a deep reflection for myself, just this new role of motherhood and not being able to leave my house right now in the cuarentena. So trying to figure out other ways to be part of this movement. So we'll definitely talk about that as well for folks that aren't here on the ground and want to do things a little bit later. We'll have some resources for people to tap into.
Definitely, Mujer. It's day number 5 here since, you know, the release of that horrific video that shows the truth. That doesn't take 4 days for gente to recognize what has happened once again, right?
Right, absolutely. We didn't need an autopsy report, which also is complete bullshit. We know from the very beginning what we witnessed there.
Horrible, horrible. I mean, I received a phone call from a few people that morning that was missed, you know, and text messages, and I clicked on that horrible link that came out of a representative of Attorney General Keith Ellison's office. And I've only seen it once. I don't ever care to see it again. I recognized the familiarity of that police officer when I seen who it was. And I didn't know who the victim was because he looked so different than how we seen a gentle, pleasant giant whenever we walked into Conga Latin Club and restaurant and Nuevo Rodeo as artists, as somebody who did security for the Latinx and, you know, black music scene for several years while he moved here from Texas. And so having that personal connection to somebody that's been killed by the police again just really cuts. And I think, you know, since word got out Tuesday morning, it's been very numbing. And then now that our whole community is in ash and also still in fear amongst the communities here in the Barrio of the West Side, you know, boarding everything up and OGs, you know, staying in front, trying to get kids to be out, to not be out, to go back in, as National Guard is now, have been out, and the police departments have been out tear gassing as of last night even more. It's just hard. I mean, we can go on. I think all of us, specifically here at Latina Theory, we are Minnesotanas, and this is our hood. This is who we talk about. We've recorded at these places that have burnt down. These places have been our centros and our comunidades and our resources as well, to have access to get resources to our community.
Absolutely, especially during this time of COVID, as artists, places like Springboard for the Arts, Juxtaposition over North, you know, McGeezy over South, all of these.
La Raza Radio.
Being hit and destroyed by outsiders. You know, we were already struggling so much with COVID, which was impacting Black and Latinx communities, Native populations at alarming rates. And now to have this is devastating. It is completely devastating. And at the same time, you know, there's beauty. I'm at home, but I'm watching video of young people getting hoses and trying to put out fires, you know, Black and brown neighbors. Somehow, I don't know where they found this big-ass fire hose, because the fire department wasn't there, but they got it right by my old place, and they put it up onto the fire hydrant, and we're trying to spray out fires all last night. So people are resilient even with all of this, you know, and I think that's something that time and time again, through the rage, through the pain, the resiliency remains.
Definitely. We are going to be, like Jessica had mentioned, that we are going to be in communication with members that are on the ground of, you know, from the ground zero of everything that has started, but now it's pretty much ground zero everywhere, ¿verdad?
Yeah, absolutely. Even the suburbs now are getting curfews. You know, so if you're not familiar with our area, Minneapolis and St. Paul, divided by a river, but very much one city in terms of spatially, you know, it's not that large of a metropolis. When we talk about the suburbs, especially the inner rings, those also are very close. So we're talking 5-minute drives, 10-minute drives from places. We might think, you know, we have a lot of a big city, but a lot of ways we have a very small city vibe here. And so it's quickly spread across the Twin Cities in a way that, yeah, makes every place feel like ground zero. Started at 38th in Chicago and has moved out from there.
There's so much, you know, and part of this show is not only just going to cover, you know, what's happening right now, but the main highlight is also remembering the life of George Floyd. it's important for people to say his name, and also to hear from the stories of people who did know him, because he brought and unified so many Black and Latinx together, you know, amongst the disparities of our Black community within the Latinx community, you know. He was the guy who recognized the indifferences amongst Afro-Latinx, that the way that they get treated just by being at the door, you know. He was a point person to unify. And once again, the pigs, I mean, that's what it is, you know. You know, that's what we do. We keep it 100. But the devil, that was the devil. They were the devil. There's a reason why people feel a certain way. It's outrise, but now it's a racial war that is happening outside. You know, buildings of our gentes businesses are being lit on fire by white supremacists. There's folks with Trump flags and Trump hats in their windows that are parked right outside of the scene. We witnessed it. Me and my husband drove and parked the car to just check out on our gente. You know, I can't get out and do what I want to do because there is a pandemic and I do have a chronic illness that I worry, you know what I'm saying? Like, I worry about the health conditions of our gente and what's going to happen even more. But majority of our folks had masks and we're doing what they can. But it's insane. I've seen it with my own eyes, Jessica. I've seen Trump hats right outside of 28th and Lake in the windows of their cars that are parked there. Why isn't that being covered?
From our home, you know, we're looking at the news. We're checking out Unicorn Riot. We'll link to them in the show notes as a place to donate for live coverage. Even CNN, you know, all of a sudden we see Black Latino Omar Jimenez, yep, live on the air being arrested, yep, where his colleague Josh Campbell, a white CNN journalist, was approached by police. He said, Josh Campbell, white CNN, said, you know, I'm a journalist. Okay, they let him go. Here, Omar Jimenez, excuse me, was live on the air.
Yeah.
Being arrested. And he kept saying over and over, I'll move. Where do you want me to go? I'm pressed. I'm with CNN. I'm live on the air. They took his big-ass microphone out of his hand, put him in handcuffs. And he only got out because the governor, you know, made a call. And so it's, you know, things like that we know every day as people of color. But once again, those kind of examples are happening.
I've got a call coming in. I'm going to take a pause. We're going to play some musica because our music is how we have been facing the injustices and uprising our people to speak up. You know, there's a reason why everything's going on, right? Our glasses are full. I mean, there's been over 4 murders by police officers to members of our community, our Black and Brown community and Indigenous communities that have been at the hands of the police who have not been charged. And the only one to have been charged has been a Somali cop who killed a white woman and was charged immediately. So the outrage is real. You know, the pain is real. What you're feeling is through everything that's happening, it's a reflection of the pain from our ancestors that now, you know, our children, our students, they can't take it anymore. It doesn't matter how systemically you want to approach this. It's to recognize that this whole government has to be rebuilt and it has to enforce us to create the law. I mean, our political leaders are getting attacked if they're Black and Brown, because they're speaking out on the fact that this is a race war. And, yep.
And it's happening all over the country. You know, like I just read about a Black transgender man, Tony McDade, not sure if I'm saying the last name correctly, who was shot by police and killed a few months ago.
Yep.
Breonna Taylor, shot and killed in her home,
yep,
by police. It's nonstop. And so, you know, I think we're focusing rightfully so, on what's happening here in our own community, but also knowing how people took the White House lawn yesterday. People shut down the 101 right outside of LA a few days ago and are continuing.
Brooklyn,
Atlanta,
Memphis, Louisville.
Yes.
You know,
shots out there. Like, yeah.
I mean, you've got Belgium, their trains saying RIP George Floyd. The trains in Belgium, you know, the whole world is on our barrios right now. And we just want everybody to know that we appreciate the solidarity and we appreciate the support. We're going to play some music and we're going to get a few people from our community on the phone and asking questions as well as getting direct information from the spaces that they are holding.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast de
took my brother and I can never get another one. I'm tired of a system that will never love me. A system that took my brother from me. No matter how much money I receive, I can hear my brother crying. I can't breathe.
I can hear my brother.
Here on the Latina Theory, Maria Isa and Jessica Lopez Lyman on the other end. We've got a guest who's tuned in, my compadre, Charlie Thayer. Charlie Thayer, what's up?
Indigo, Charlie Thayer, Indigenous Cause, Makwan and Dudum, Odawa, Zagaining, and Dunjaba, Minneapolis, and Da, Thayer, Nimama. My name's Charlie Thayer. I'm from I'm a member of the Lucre Superior Band Ojibwe, current resident of Minneapolis, South Minneapolis, longtime resident of South Minneapolis. Yeah, how you doing?
Man, bro, you know, just doing right. We're alive. We're safe as can be, and we're also trying to utilize our platforms and the communities that we represent to really truthfully help the people. And tell us a little bit of you know, what you've experienced. Is day number 5, right? And you've been at the forefront of this.
Yeah, at the forefront. So we have a large urban Native American community here. You know, that's been, you know, the American Indian movement was it started off the civil rights movement, the Black Panther Party, and that was formed in the late 60s due to police brutality. You know, and so we still see it today, you know, and since we've, you know, since this has popped off, there's been several, you know, Native American community organizations or businesses that have been in direct line of fires or in the direct area or vicinity of where riots have been taking place. So it's been our duty as Native males in the community to protect the community members and protect these businesses from going up in flames. The other night, the night that the third precinct was taken over, there was a business called Magazine Communications, which has been around since the AIM days, 70s, that was formed, created to combat negative stereotypes of Native people. And it turned into, it's been around, and it's a youth training facility. We train youth, Native youth, about, you know, about media, social media, and stuff like that. And we tried our best all night to prevent it from burning, and you know, we tried, but it ended up going up in flames. That was the only block in the business, or the only business on the block that didn't get touched that night. But due to the other fires in the same building or the same kind of row of businesses, that ended up going up at about maybe 5 or 6 a.m. And it's just been chaotic. You know, last night we were protecting another business on Lake Street, Division of Indian Work. There's multiple occasions of people attempting to loot it. As we were standing there protecting, defending the business, the cops would do random drive-bys and throw tear gas canisters like cowards out at us while we're standing there trying to defend this business from looters. They would throw them directly at us and shoot rubber bullets at us, drive-by shootings of rubber bullets. And then at one point, there was actual live rounds fired our way from the cops. We collected their shell casings, and it was just, it was chaotic. There was a building burning across the street, which from where we were at on Lake Street, it was a bank, and next to that bank, right across the street from that, is where, it's a Native women's shelter, which is also connected to DIW. So we were trying to, we were there to make sure that either of those two buildings burned or were looted, and we were successful in that. But, you know, just to be, to have to fend off looters and also police. It's, yeah, like, you know, who's here protecting us, you know? And also to not have any fire department around at any moment last night. We were actually, you know, some community members came out. I've seen a council member, Alondra Connell, was out there she was out there helping extinguish the fire across the street from DIW. And we were helping as well, but it was just, we were worried that the fire was going to spread to DIW and to the women's shelter and to some of the homes behind it. And so it was a stressful and long night. We didn't leave till maybe the National Guard maybe showed up at like 7 a.m., I think. And this was going on from maybe like midnight to 7 hours straight of just chaos and gunfire and just madness.
I'm all here working on mommy duty and doing what we do as women in the village, you know? I mean, I just want to say, in what ways can we help from being in home as women, you know, and fundraising for the communities that have so much damage?
I think, you know, just talking to your communities and strengthening that, solidifying that Native people, brown people, we are all unified here. We need to band together here. At this time, you know, it's unfortunately, it's looking uglier and uglier as, you know, the Trump administration and other people try to continue to debate and create this race battle of race, this issue of race. And it's like, you know, unfortunately, that's maybe the way its direction is heading. But, you know, I'm here for my black brothers. I'm here for my brown sisters. I'm here for, you know, like, we need to band together at this point in time and protect our communities of color and our businesses of color and our spaces that we have, that we work with our youth at. You know, it's just like, it's just that's the most important thing right now, I think. And, you know, I really hope that, you know, there's calls that go out for support, for people to come defend and protect our communities from the threat of white national terrorists, white nationalists and white terrorists. And that's reality of it. And, you know, AIM Patrol, we set up a patrol immediately in South Minneapolis, the American Indian Movement Patrol. And so we've been patrolling businesses, and we have a tight-knit community that right now of young warriors that are trying to defend and do what we can, but there's been threats over and over again towards the Native community, and so we're just ready to go to war if we have to, you know, we're just here to defend our people.
Well, yeah, I was seeing last night, they had over 100 folks patrolling for AIM, definitely detaining young white people from Wisconsin, young white boys that were coming to terrorize, even had them sit there till their parents came to get them. You know, I think when we talk a lot about abolishing the police, it doesn't mean that, of course, we don't want just chaos, havoc, but what does community patrol look like, community safety look like? And I think y'all are definitely displaying exactly what that's supposed to be. You know, and here, if it was reversed, you know, like the insane police state, utter brutality, violence, murder, even where these young people, they got sat down, they got treated as humans, they got sent home. You know, like if that would happen to black and brown and Native youth, we would have a very different society. So I just think it's a really beautiful example about, you know, putting our theories into practice.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's to put our trust into a police system here in South Minneapolis. You know, Derek, the officer that murdered George Floyd, shot William Reyes in 2006, 23 times, a Native Anishinaabe man who was a father as well. And to put our trust into someone, into a police force that continues to decriminalize our youth and continues to shoot our people, that's not happening. We can police our own community if we have to, you know. That's why AIM was formed. You know, so we continue to move in the way that American Indian Movement was created for, and we're going to continue to work in that strength and bond through the American Indian Movement, the foundation of it.
Charlie, yo, I know you got to get back to garden what you got to guard, dude. Be safe out there. We love you. You know. We're here, we're familia. You need anything, man, just let us know, okay? You guys stay safe, and tell that to all the brothers and sisters on the front line as well. All right, love.
One last thing, anybody that wants to donate to Mugizi, who Charlie was talking about earlier, that was burned, you can do that at their website, MIGIZI.org. There's a clear donate page. There's a lot of false donation pages that have been popping up as of late, so that one's legit. It's for the organization, and stay safe.
Stay safe.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, you guys. I love you. Love you both.
Thank you. Love you too, brother.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Hi, we're here on via phone call with Senadora Patricia Torres-Rey, who not only is our Latinx representation in legislation, but, you know, her district has been highly affected first, as many of ours around the metropolitan area. Not only is Patricia representative in legislation as our senator, state senator, but she's also a dear good friend to us here on Latina Theory. Senator Patricia Torres-Rey, can you please inform our comunidades that are listening from all over the world what we're facing, as well as what we need to take action tonight? What action do we need to take tonight?
Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Latina Theory, for inviting me to talk to your audience. This is a very important day, and we need your help to get the word out. What we know is that there are terrorist organizations destroying the city of Minneapolis. We have information now that there are anarchist groups who have infiltrated city. The number of groups, of terrorist groups, is growing in Minneapolis, a city where organizing efforts to change the system are effective, and our organizers are recognized nationally, and that is the reason they are targeting us, because they want to interfere with the work that we are doing to change the systemic infrastructure that created the big disparities that exist in our state. I am asking people to please listen to the governor. You know, we are expecting a very difficult evening. We understand that they will be targeting large buildings. They will be targeting gas stations, and they want to increase the number of fires around the city. And it's incredibly important that we comply with the curfew order that was issued by the governor. We must do that. Your organizing efforts tonight will really interfere with the ability of the National Guard to arrest these criminals. They need to be arrested. We need your help, and that is my message for today. We need help letting people know that they need to stay home and comply with the curfew.
Gracias. I know you have a lot that you are dealing with in our leadership, in our community. And I just have one more question, Patricia, is are we, what can you tell our gente who are on the streets right now, are specifically our Latinx, undocumented folks who are fearing that they will not get any help when it comes to healthcare? They're seeking, you know, I'm getting hit up for people who don't have access to insulin on the South Side because their pharmacy has been burned down. There's no means of transportation. Do you know of any resources that are out there on your end that can help people feel safe and healthy?
Yes, we are absolutely working on that. Senator Melissa Franson and Representative Aisha Gomez are taking the lead on a very large proposal of $50 million to address specifically issues for people who do not qualify for any assistance of the federal government or the state that require a Social Security. That is our number one priority right now. We are making some progress on some of the cities. City of St. Paul, City of Minneapolis, Riccio have made decisions about crafting, you know, putting together funding to support the communities with rent and you know, small economic assistance. And we know that is very insufficient. I am fully aware of the need is much larger than that, and so that's why we know that we need to do this at the state level. I am also working with Senator Tina Smith, who I have a great deal of trust of, because she is a person who is a quiet leader who gets things done. And we're in communication right now to take care of this crisis, and through a source of funding that may be available at the federal fund, at the federal level, to make sure that this funding is available to everyone regardless of their status. So it's complicated with the federal government because they always have, you know, these requirements, Social Security requirements, but we're trying to figure out how do we deploy that resource to the nonprofit sector so that they have a little bit more flexibility as to how it can be distributed. So I'm working on figuring out the mechanism, but this is something that we're working on it every single day. That's really my top priority. And I know that my district needs help as well, but I think it's easier for me to advocate for my district because they don't have the limitations that many people in our community have with respect to status.
I appreciate you taking our call today, and, you know, as a friend and a supporter, I just hope that we can keep each other safe just as much as we can keep our community safe. I know the tension that you receive from the Senate majority, who I am so outraged to read some of the tweets that have been going out, not only federally, but statewide. And I just hope that our people, our gente, are tuning in and taking this very into a serious matter tonight to stay in and know that there are people that we can hold accountable so that this can stop. But muchas gracias, and we'll be in touch. And adoras, tú me cuidas, que te cuidas, okay?
Gracias, mi linda. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
And we're back with Latina Theory. We have another guest with us, Maya Washington, award-winning filmmaker, writer, director, producer. She's the founder of Water Entertainment and most recently is touring two of her films through the banks of Red Cedar as well as Clear. Maya, thanks so much for being here. Maddie and I really wanted to talk to you, particularly given your expertise around the media and thinking about how white mainstream media has been portraying what's happening in our communities. So thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you both for having me.
Maya, I mean, we've been communicating, just checking in on each other as sisters in the community, right? But I wanted to make sure our listeners here on Latina Theory recognize, we deal with the tensions of the disparities of our people on an everyday level, right? In media, how we're represented, and where we can get access to platforms such as what we do in production as well as yours. You know, for somebody who's at home and trying to gain a perspective of how to say stay safe and isn't getting that information because it's not ours telling ours unless they're tuning into our outlets. How can we build more platforms for sisters like ourselves that are doing the work to reach to our communities of color, especially to the Black community?
Well, I think, you know, especially in the aftermath of so much of the heart of the Latinx and Indigenous and some Black media organizations just really being hit the hardest in the past few days. Obviously, that's an affront to our longstanding institutions that keep us informed, that let us know what's really going on. And so it's very hard to see a lot of the organizations that we rely on intersectionally in our various communities not be able to be the voice that they are for us right now. So I think for people like you, people like me, some of the guests that you've had on tonight, we have to do what we do anyway, right?
Yeah.
We have our audience, we have our people, our folks, our communities, inside and outside of our ethnic communities per se. There's white people who are listening to what we say and right. do and create and make. And I think at a time like this, we have to continue to engage the audiences and the ears that we already have, but do a lot of the grassroots things that our foremothers and ancestors did to hold our communities together. I am very concerned about people protecting themselves this evening in their homes, staying home, of course. I feel as though we received that message and will be home tonight. But thinking about how can, if you are a nurse, doctor, military, someone who is a survivor of a natural disaster, we need you to let people like us know. How do we help someone if fire enters their home tonight? What are the best practices for first aid if you get a burn? What are best practices for putting out fire if it comes into your home? How do you respond to tear gas coming into your home? We need to work together to share what we're doing, how it's working, how we're getting food to one another, how we're getting medicine. And we're seeing that on the ground, but I think your platform is really great because I hope that it lets the community know that you're not alone, that you don't have to depend on CARE 11 and WCCO and Fox 9 and Channel 5 to get the news out, especially if that news isn't the practical news that you need on the ground right now, the practical news that you need to keep your family safe, to keep your elders safe.
I was just amazed by watching some of those stations, you know, last night, I mean, my husband and I are up at midnight just watching the curfew right when things started to get heavy within the National Guard and the MPD on Lake Street. And I kept seeing WCCO or all those stations that you named, as well as CNN, right, where we have all of our, like, our iPads, our computers, our TVs on, just to see from different angles. And there were interviewing all white people that were down there. And then once they were interviewing people of color, it was folks that were engaging at the fact that they're like, you have no idea, you know, the pain that we're going through. And you only want to interview us because we're in front of an ATM right now, you know, but you don't want to interview us when they're killing our fathers and raping and abducting our sisters, right? So it's a lot to see that media has played a very large role, like the mainstream media, in giving false information. They're not showcasing the white supremacists that have been lighting our businesses on fire.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the most ironic thing to witness that a white supremacist act of murder against an unarmed citizen sparks riots from white supremacists. You know, I mean
these folks aren't even from our own community.
They're not even from here. And the problem with white media, and I'm going to call it white media because that's what we have in the Twin Cities, and God bless the Black and Brown and Indigenous folks attempting to give the news through our mainstream media platforms right now, usually in the role of an, you know, on-street reporter. If you turn on the news, and I have a family friend who is a prominent news anchor in another market, who was watching and said, why aren't there any Black people on the news here, right? You know, so I think that's just fundamentally problematic. And a situation like that exposes the grave inadequacies in Minnesota mainstream journalism, just to have non-Black and also people who are not people of color or really living in the heart of these communities attempting to be analysts as if it's a sporting event that they're in. Now this is happening and now they're doing this and doing that, and it was peaceful, I don't know, where is the National Guard, you know, like that's the kind of stuff I heard all night. And I think they mean well, but the problem is they are grossly ignorant about what's actually happening on the ground. They're relying on tropes and sort of outdated cliches about what's playing out, that this is just, us, the collective brown us, burning down our own communities, and we're not going to solve anything with violence, but really turning a blind eye to what people on the ground have been saying since Tuesday, that there has been infiltration, that we know the difference between who belongs in our community and who doesn't, but there seems to be a need for our mainstream media to get caught up on reality and take a good look in the mirror, literally, because even the narrative from the governor late last night at 1:30 in the morning, or early this morning at 1:30 in the morning, he was hinting at the concern about white supremacy and this possible drug cartel. But when it was kicked back to anchors, they're still on the why can't people protest peacefully narrative. So I think we have a lot of heavy lifting to do, because we have a lot of heavy lifting to do on behalf of our communities, because mainstream media is not doing it, and they fundamentally don't get it. They do not get it.
I mean, one of the things we try to do here in Latina Theory is always to change the narrative, to shift the discourse. And one of the things that I would love to see mainstream media understand is that when they use this rhetoric of violence, saying that protesters are now being violent, what they're failing to recognize is the violence that has historically and systemically been within our communities. When cities, states, federal government has divested from our communities, that's a violence. When we don't have
resources,
quality education and housing, jobs that pay a living adequate wage, that is a violence. And so I think, you know, there's a difference between Black folks, Brown folks, Native folks living out their rage, their pain, their trauma, and folks perpetuating a violence from outsiders, white supremacists, terrorist groups coming in. And that's something that that nuance there is something the mainstream media has not been able to capture yet.
Not at all. I mean, one of our only major Latino radio station that reaches outside of the metropolitan area, La Raza, was burnt down, you know, and just the start of everything from 5 days ago, we're giving resources to people who were, you know, while their business was still standing, like what you can do, or clinics that are open, and being bilingual to our communities, you know, speaking in our different languages to get resources to folks who are undocumented.
Yes, it is very concerning about the creativity that we need to acquire and use to reach folks who are not connected digitally. So that means verbal communication. That means digging deep and figuring out what that looks like. We're seeing a lot of the beautiful street art that's coming out of this, that while the anarchists might be spray painting all kinds of things at night, we're seeing beautiful street art on that plywood that's protecting a barber shop or a corner store or a restaurant and that sort of thing. So I think there are creative ways that we can get messages to people that respect our neighborhoods, our streets, our communities, but do that in a way that will actually get people the hope that they need, but more importantly, the information they need to keep themselves safe.
That's great. I also want to mention, if folks are in town or out of town looking to donate, Unicorn Riot has been doing a fantastic job of being on the ground, doing live, especially late into the night. You can donate unicornriot.ninja. Also, for those folks that might not have access to these kind of technology platforms, over south right now, there was just a beautiful gathering in Powderhorn Park for Southside residents doing social distancing. I wasn't able to be there, but I've talked to several folks that were, and they're encouraging everyone to organize block by block on a real micro level scale. So if you don't know your neighbors yet, now is the time to connect. Make sure you all have a plan. What is your block going to be doing? Do you know who's next to you next door? Do they know who you are? You know, these kind of interpersonal ways are how we're going to make sure that folks are staying safe tonight.
Maya Washington, can you shout out how people can check out some of your work and stay safe, my sister?
Thank you. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter as I, Maya Washington. So thank you both. Y'all be safe, and thank you for all that you do for our community.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Maya. Bye-bye. We'll talk soon.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Welcome back to the Latina Theory, here out of the Twin Cities between Minneapolis, recording out of our homes between Minneapolis and St. Paul, protecting ours and staying safe. Speaking about protecting ours and staying safe, you know, Jessica just became a mother a month ago, and our intentions last week were to bring in Latina Theory back from her paternity leave with celebrating motherhood. but and we still celebrate being mothers all day, right? Every day. But amongst all the tragedy that's been happening, in respect, we're giving respect to the lost brother of George Floyd. We decided that it's important to share how our black and brown mothers are doing in our communities that are smelling the smoke of the fires right now from our backyards, and to represent being a black new mother to her son and an artist and an organizer. And I'll let you know what she does, because I said I'll take 8 minutes to introduce her aside, because she's my sister and I love her and we've been checking in on each other. But I'd like to welcome an amazing warrior woman to the Latina Theory, my sister Alicia Steele.
Bless you, Maria. Big up, Maria. Big up, Jessica. Big up. Thank you for everything you do. My name is Alicia Steele. I'm a community auntie. I'm a community auntie to our black and brown and queer babies. Mm. I love you. I'm a vocalist and singer of spirits, past presence. Big up, sis Tet. Big up. I'm here as a mama.
Girl, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. You know, I Maria had talked earlier when we were talking with some folks how she had watched the video. I have not watched it yet. Part of our understanding is that when we birth babies, we have to go to the other side to get them. And we do the cuarentena, we do the 40 days in order to make sure that we're able to heal and close those hips, close that door. But that door feels very open for me still. One thing I did hear, though, when my partner was watching the video in a different room, was George Floyd calling for his mama. Mm. And I realized when his life was being taken from him, I was feeding my own child, my newborn baby, Carmen. And I just wanted to, you know, talk with you about all of us. How are you dealing with this, being a new mom? Your son is still very young. You know, there's a shift that happens when you are often so public out in the community, like you've been, Alicia, and now being a mom, I'm assuming you're spending a lot more time at home. What ways are you, how are you working in terms of doing your organizing work still?
Yes, so it is imperative for those of us, it is imperative to have people off of the field doing coordinating and communicating needs between areas of action. And so it's necessary that I keep my phone charged, I keep my baby happy and content, and continue to communicate needs to those that are working their physical bodies and putting them on the line. My family, my husband. I think that the scariest thing, and I've been calling a lot of black moms, mm-hmm. and black grandmoms, mm-hmm. in this. That has also been a necessary piece for me to get their wisdom and guidance. And I think, like, y'all, the three of us have young babies, yeah. right? So, like, and first-time babies. Mm-hmm. Y'all, the three of us have first-time babies. This is wild, first yeah. of all. We got and the three of us are action-oriented people. Yeah. And so, like, it is really hard for us, I think, to stay home.
Yeah.
And so to call upon other black moms and black grandmas, and for them to tell me that the survival of black life is revolutionary, the survival of indigenous lives are revolutionary, stay home with your babies and start organizing on your phones. So I haven't slept. But the other thing that's nice about being a new mom, y'all, we know how it is to not motherfucking sleep. Oh, excuse my language.
No, this is sin vergüenzas, without shame, girl. We do.
Okay, gracias.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yo. Like, we know what it's like to not sleep. So I haven't slept. And I've been up because that's what's necessary. We can really actually be very new mothers have the ability to be very keenly in tune and clear-minded on very little sleep. And that is something that is extremely powerful and not something that is something that everybody is granted with. That's only people with young new babies.
Isn't that the truth? Like, you know, my husband was concerned, I've been concerned about him. When the news broke out, you know, I woke up and got all of these messages, like, something's going down, you know, and without knowing that it was somebody that we had a personal connection to. And I was already startled just by the fact that, okay, here's another black brother getting killed at the hands of a pig, you know, because that's what it is, right? And then finding out, oh, shit, it's somebody that we know, and it's right in front of, you know, Cup Foods, where me and Muja lived, like, when we first started living with each other and establishing what Villa Rosa, what us, like, our first album, you know. Our first album was written going back and forth from the crib on 37th and Elliott to Cup Foods to get, you know, our turkey bacon sandwich and, you know, even cashing checks. You know, we've cashed checks there back in the day where it's like, this is getting too hood, baby. Muja, I know you don't trust the system, but you got to get your own bank account, even if it's a, you know how it is, you know, because that's what it is, right?
Hell yes. And I love that corner store.
You know, but at the same time, we've also seen racial disparities in that corner store, how, you know, the Arab community treats the black community and the Latino community and vice versa, right? Or the other black businesses in the community that are across the street and the Latinos communities. Like, we've felt that tension. We have felt the tensions of police on that community amongst, you know, our own selves, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, and our youth, and witness our youth and trying to help our youth within that same corner. And so when waking up to the news, like, having my baby, I can't cry in front of my baby. I can't startle my baby. You know, I have to hold it in. Us as mothers and us as, you know, women who have our black men who we fear for not only our safety, but their safety every time they leave to even go get us something, anything. They don't mean they can be outside pushing our baby in the stroller.
Girl!
Well, that's here because when we moved to this new spot, we had been talking about a home gym, and then to see that young man murdered while jogging, I was like, oh yeah, we're getting a treadmill right now. Mm. You know, like, and we had been talking about it anyways, but there's something so visceral that hits your body when you know that your black partners, your black male partners leave the house. It's like, it's a different holding of the breath until they come home.
Yes, yes. It's a different holding, and the reaction of being strong for us, like you said, Alicia, like, we know how it is not to sleep. We become immune to it, you know. It's and we keep doing the things that we've been doing, like, as women before, you know. It's not, you don't give up being who you are, you know. No, that is your stripe that's made you your strength to create the best art, which is our children. And I think, like you said, it's such a pivotal time to be raising newborns and infants, toddlers, right? 1-year-olds to 1-month-olds, to almost, you know, 1-year-olds, right? Like, in a pandemic, we've been dealing with the pandemic where they have been our mental state of mind. And now trying to continue to protect them in their innocent world where they have no idea. And, you know, can we live in a world where our kids tell us, Mom, what's it like? What was it like? What are police? Or, wow, those police people used to kill people like us and hurt your friends and hurt you. You know, if there's going to be change of anything, it has to be a complete different system. I mean, the torch of the flame that has been lit here of pain, the glass broke here, but the water has gone everywhere. And
Maria, you just gave me such a beautiful visual. It's just so clear when you said you're like, your baby Louisa comes up to you and says, Mom, well, what are police?
Yeah.
Like, I want that narrative. I want us to start speaking the future into now what are police? Who are they? They are not part of us. We take care of ourselves in our local communities, which is why we are needing to clarify what's happening, especially right now, because it is not people in our local communities burning down our communities. It is people from out of town busting up windows and setting buildings on fire. So I do think the intuition of being a new mom is also strong within us too. The superpowers that we have received from being chosen to be mothers is so divine, and I respect it and honor it.
One question I have, you know, I know we got other folks we're going to check in with here, but what are you hoping for your child? What are you teaching your child right now during this time?
I'm teaching my child to lean into joy. Because that is the exact opposite of what white, cis, capitalistic patriarchy wants of my child. He laughs so fucking hard, y'all.
Yes.
All the time, at everything. All the time. He's filled with joy.
Isn't it beautiful? Full
of joy. So I'm leaning him into that and encouraging him to continue that journey.
That's number one, right? You know,
my daughter just started smiling so much lately, and it'll be like 2 a.m. I'm exhausted, but also this weird sense, and she'll have her chichi in my mouth, or, you know, my chichi in her mouth, and she just starts smiling out of nowhere.
Yes,
best medicine.
Yes, and girl taking it, I mean, every day Eloisa does something new, but she's cracking up. She's so funny, you know, she's like, her sense of humor is hilarious. She's like, she knows that she can make us laugh. She knows that if she fake coughs, you know, and we're like, oh my gosh, are you okay? You know, and she just does it on purpose to like make us like worry, and then she laughs at us. And it's just, like you said, Alicia, I just want to trace out joy. Keeping their joy and protecting their innocence is what, and working the revolution through them.
Beautiful.
Any words? I love you too, Ache, Mama. I love you. Any words you want to say to our listeners, our community out there that is tuning in?
Yes, I want you to amplify the voices of the people of Minneapolis. Check into Black Visions Collective. Check into MPD 150. Check into Reclaim the Block. And check in with yourself. Take care, especially Black liberation and the Black survival and Indigenous survival of our youth.
Yes. We love you, girl.
Love you. Yes, all. Thank you. We'll make sure to link to all those organizations you just mentioned.
Yes, yes. We'll have a virtual play date with the babies. All right. Te quiero mucho. All right. Ache, mama. Cuídate.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
And we're back here on Latina Theory, discussing the conversations of remembering George Floyd, as well as unifying our communities of color and Indigenous folks to make sure we are staying safe and that we recognize the shift of change that is happening, and the leadership that needs to be forth in communicating to our gente. Continuing with that dialogue, I want to read a tweet from our next guest who we have here, because it caught my attention immediately to say we need to have her on Latina Theory once again. But this is a tweet, a Facebook post that came out. Normally no digo nada because, well, I try to keep myself neutral because of the business and our customers. But what kind of coward do I look like if I don't take a stance? I'm half Black. My fiance is Black. My daughter is Black. It might seem hypocritical to say something now as businesses are getting hit and we're all trying to protect our own, but I'm tired of staying neutral. I'm tired of being quiet to protect people's feelings. Black lives matter. When it comes to our business, Black lives matter. When it comes to my personal life, Black lives matter. When it comes to everything, Black lives matter. My daughter's life above my own matters. Y si no te gusta, pues adiós y que le vaya bien. That is a quote from a Facebook post by Analita Silva, who is on. Hola, Analita. How are you doing?
Hello.
amongst everything that's happening, you're safe, ¿verdad?
Yes, we're safe. We're good.
You are the business, you're a businesswoman, owner of the first Latinx market in the state of Minnesota, and the longest running mercado, El Burrito. As a black and brown owned business, you know, tell me a little bit about what you have been facing as an owner.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess to touch on that point about the black and brown owned, a lot of, when I posted that, I realized that a lot of our community doesn't even know that I'm black. A lot of our, you know, they know the Silvas, but they don't know that one of the Silvas is half black. So I think a lot of people at first were like, black and brown owned. No, they're not. Mm-hmm. And we are. And mm-hmm. I think it's, it kind of feels odd to put that out now. It kind of feels like, well, good timing, you know, and I can understand what people might think, like, oh, all of a sudden they feel this way, and it's not. And I think that's the biggest thing I want to put out to everybody, is that, like, if you ever felt uncomfortable in our business because of what you look like, I want to say sorry. I want to apologize, because I don't want that to be our face. I don't want that. I don't want people to feel uncomfortable in our business. So I wanted to start with that piece, because I feel like people might think it's a little hypocritical that all of a sudden we're talking about this when it's not a new conversation. It's just kind of come to its head right now. Mm-hmm. But you know, our business, first and foremost, our employees are the most important part to us. So, mm-hmm. you know, we've had conversations about our community, and like, if we don't stay open and if we don't, you know, do what we can, then where are people going to go? Mm-hmm. A lot of our customers are people who walk to our business, who bus, anything, you know, people that come out of state, right. To come and get things. So our priority was, how do we keep everybody safe, mm-hmm. if, you know, the people start to loot our business? But it really, you know, and we went back and forth about boarding up the business, you know, what are the circumstances coming around that? And we just kind of like, let's be precautionary. And the West Side, the West Side came and they showed out for our business. They've been there for 3 nights, just hanging out, watching out for the West Side. And I don't think it's just El Burrito. I think it's everybody on our block, everybody on our Chavez. So between, you know, the stand people sitting outside and just taking initiative, that they did that on their own. And that's really what you can tell El Burrito and everybody on the West Side care about each other and making sure that the businesses, the community stays safe. Those people who are not doing this for peaceful protest, those people who are just trying to loot. And that's, you know, really what it comes down to, is community and what we can do best for everyone else. And not, we're not about what, if we can make money at this point. No, we're about making sure that everyone's safe and everyone is fed and everybody can get the necessities they need to bring home to themselves.
Yeah, I was speaking with one of the co-owners and your tia earlier today, who stated, you know, mija, if you know anybody that has been affected by their homes being burned or looted, and or don't have access to the supermarket because it's no longer standing, or transportation to go to one that's maybe open, let us know so that we can provide gift cards or packages to deliver, send people to their homes. And that's what,
right.
when I seen, I mean, I live on the West Side, and I drove through our barrio the other day to make sure that, our gente is up there. And I knew they would, you know, you see the children of the young berets, you know, the brown berets, the coaches that made sure that when we were, you know, kids growing up into these white communities playing basketball, that those white communities that were racist to us and violent to us as kids, that they weren't coming to destroy our community in the long run, or the children of their children aren't, you know, because that's, let's be honest, what we're seeing a lot. Yeah, there is looting happening in our communities because people don't have access to anything, haven't had jobs, haven't had anything, right, in the last 2 months fighting for survival, and now this hits and the rage and the pain. But let's be honest, it's a white supremacy, like torch flaming out there when it comes to our businesses. So to see that our gente, our comunidad was in front, standing posted up to make sure that none of our folks are getting into trouble and no folks are coming to bring trouble, it showed the unity that the West Side has been for, I mean, since before we were even a thought, right?
Yeah, right.
Jessica, you had a question that you wanted to ask
Analita. Also, just to kind of paint a picture for our listeners here who are outside of the Twin Cities, you know, geographically, we were talking earlier that it's kind of a small space, but when you really think about the South Side and the West Side, geographically, that's probably some of the furthest distance, and it's very hard to get to via public transportation. Mm-hmm. So just for listeners to really grasp that what started in the South Side at 38th in Chicago in terms of the protests and then traveling through to St. Paul along University to then
the have Grand Avenue,
Grand Avenue, which tends to be a more affluent white area, to then go to the West Side, which is across a the river bridge, and it's also not west because our directions are all messed up here, but that's another conversation for a different podcast time. You know, really just to illustrate how much it's spread. So in terms of, you know, you owning your business, what do you want to say to other business owners? We've heard a lot in the media about the atrocities that are happening, particularly along Lake Street and in University in St. Paul to mom and pop shops.
Robert Street. I mean, Robert Street got hit up towards Inver Grove Heights, you know, the border yesterday. So,
and most recently, you know, the owner of Gandhi Mahal's kind of made national news because he was saying, you know, burn my restaurant. Like, I can rebuild my restaurant. We can't bring back George Floyd. So what do you want to tell other business owners or people that are watching the news and might be getting this kind of mainstream narrative about what's happening to businesses?
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with that. Like, you can... You know, you can bring the business, we'll always rebuild, we'll always be able to move forward. We can't bring a life back. And, you know, I had a conversation on, yesterday morning with my employees, like, they were coming in for the day, and I'm like, hey, no matter what, make sure you're good, make sure that you protect yourself, make sure that don't feel like you need to stay and defend the business. Like, no, we're here for you. You know, like we are owners, but at the same time, like, we care about each one of our employees individually. And that was not a fun conversation to have, you know, keep your keys on you, keep your cell phone on you, be safe. Because I know that no matter what happens to our actual physical building, to our things, the heart of our community, the heart of our business is never going to go away. You know, we've been here for 40 years. We hope for 40 more, you know, but, you know, El Burrito in itself is just, it's, you know, our logo, our slogan, La Experiencia Mexicana. Like, we always want to make sure that you feel comfortable being in our business, making sure that everyone feels safe. So at the end of the day, yeah, you can bring the business, but the heart of El Burrito is never going to go away. The heart of the Familiacita is never going to go away. And we'll continue to fight peacefully and make sure that every life is valued, no matter what or who you are.
Analita Silva, we love you, girl, here on Latina Theory. Cuídate, te me cuidas, y a esa nena preciosa, bella. Give her a big, big hug from the homegirl, Loisa.
Yeah, definitely will.
And thank you so much for being on here.
Of course.
Okay, and we'll stay in touch, mujer.
Sounds good.
Peace.
Alrighty.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
All right, y'all, we're back on Latina Theory. Maria Isa and I have been talking to various folks on the front lines, people in the media, and we just, you know, want to thank everybody for tuning in, for listening. For those of you that are out of the Twin Cities, out of state, out of country, we'll put in the show notes different places for you to donate. Some of them we've mentioned so far: local organizations, Black Visions Collective, Reclaim the Block, Unicorn Riot, Minnesota Justice Healing Network as well. If you're local, there's lots of different drop-off sites for food, especially you know, baby goods, etc. So we'll make sure to put those also in the show notes. But yeah, Maria, you want to say anything before we get out of here?
I just want to tell everybody, you know, to stay safe. You've heard earlier on our show from a state legislator, Senator Patricia Torres Rey, on the what's about to go down tonight. You know, you've heard it from a perspective on somebody who is a target in legislation and has dealt with the racist legislation of the system and trying to make sure that our gente gets ours, right? It's going down even more tonight, so be safe. Stay at home. Like Alicia said earlier on the show, you know, protect your babies. See the joy within our children. If you have children who are traumatized by this and old enough to realize what's happening, that live near what's happening, that, I mean, whether they're involved or outside, just try and be the voice of our ancestors and being able to heal them with our survivor tactics of keeping ourselves sacred from hate, right? And I love y'all, man, and we're all in this together, and please let us know how we can continue to help build comunidad. Let us know how we can uplift your voices and share your stories. We're going to be here all week making sure that we're covering every angle from what's happening. But please remember, stay inside, stay safe. And this is about getting justice for George Floyd.
Absolutely. If you're looking for other actions you can do, there's been a call put out by Minnesota Healing Justice Network. We're recording this Saturday, 5:30, but it will be continuing every night at 8 p.m. They're asking folks, if you are at home, to go to your ofrenda, go to your altar in your home, and do some acts inward. As communities, they say, in grief and in rage at the historically callous treatment of Black life in our city, our nation, it's important that we come together at night to bring our rage, our love, our fire. So whatever you use, whatever your spiritual practice, whatever your grounding practice is, with your altar, if you don't have one, make one. And they're asking folks that they can use the hashtag turn up at your altar. So again, 8 p.m., this is from the Minnesota Healing Justice Network. Definitely something that I'll be doing here in my home with the baby. But yeah, again, just to reiterate what Maria said, stay safe and remember this is for George Floyd.
Dial 1-800-REPARATIONS. Again, that's 1-800-REPARATIONS.
I got the breasts in the bag. I got the breasts in
they
the
call us villains, sinners. They call us niggas and spickins. We bought them chillins and chickens. We use the sense for the healing. We got them haces and hexes. We got that gree-gree, that juju. We got them blue hearts, that voodoo. We got the chulas and cholas. We got the gurus and zulus. We bought our business and dealing. We out here making a killing. We bought our business and dealing. They out here catching the feeling. I'm out here catching the flight. I'm with my peace out here lurking. I'm out here blowing the dice.
Where my money is?
Revolution is coming to you in HD. The revolution is being broadcast in HD.
They call us villains and sinners. They call us niggas and spickins. We bought them chillins and chickens. We use the sense for the healing. We got them haces and hexes. We got that gree-gree, that juju. We got them blue hearts, that voodoo. We got the chulas and cholas. We got the gurus and zulus. We bought our business and dealing. Here making a killing. We bout our business and dealing. Stay out here catching the feeling. I'm out here catching the flight. I'm with my peace out here lurking. I'm out here blowing the dice.
Money. money, 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 money,